Would you stand to your feet? You mighty men and women of God, that's who you truly are in Jesus Christ. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I don't care where you've been, what you've come through, what you're battling against now, what you're going to face this afternoon or tomorrow. The battle belongs to the Lord. In 1 Samuel 17, it said, in all this assembly, this is David talking to Goliath. He said, in all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword, not with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David was a young man, but he was a young man anointed of the Spirit of God. He was a young man that had his eyes on God the Father. He'd already taken out, he was a shepherd. He had a shepherd's heart. He was taking care of sheep, and he'd already taken out a lion and a bear. Sometimes giants just mouth off to the wrong people, and particularly the wrong God, because David knew this battle was not his, but it belonged to the Lord. The Bible tells you and I that it's not by our might, it's not by our strength. I know some of you this past week have said, oh, what am I going to do? God says when you've done all you can, stand back, stand still, don't move, don't back up, don't quit, don't give in. Just watch what God can do. I'm going to try not to keep too long. I haven't preached for a while. Bow your heads. Father, God Almighty, Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus, commander of the Lord's armies, God, open our eyes. Open every eye in this house, every eye under the sound of my voice. And Lord, like the prophet Elijah said so many years ago, open the eyes of your servant so that they can see there are more with us than there is with them and with the enemy. God, you are always with us. David said, I beheld the Lord always at my right hand. And God, you want to be the Lord of the battle for each and every one of us. God, open our eyes today. Help us to see who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I love music like that. I really do. I did it. Thank you, tech crew. I didn't know what they were going to play. Bobby got a hold of me this morning right before church. He said, come back here. I want you to hear something. I want to make sure this is all right. Man, was it all right. Yeah, it was more than all right. See, this giant Goliath had defied the armies of Israel. He had challenged them to a man-on-man duel, he said, that would decide the fate of thousands. And a shepherd boy named David answered that challenge. We never know where that deliverance is going to come from. We never know who God has waiting in the wings, where his resources are going to be. But I want you to know he is Lord over all and he owns it all. Heaven and earth belong to God Almighty. And he loves you as his child. And the reality is that David looked past the size of that man and what he saw was the size of his God. And I can't stress this enough. You have got to learn to do that in everyday life. You've got to quit looking at all of the storms, looking at all the water, looking at all the problems, looking at all the lack. And you got to look beyond that and realize that you serve God Almighty, who has never let anyone down, who has never failed. He's never failed to come through. He's never failed to supply. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will take you through it. If I can't take you over it or around it, I will take you through it. And if God brings you to it, he will take you through it. Now, sometimes we bring ourselves to stupid stuff, but he will still take you through if you trust him. Amen. Now, when we read this scripture, David's, you know, he's yelling back at this giant who's just told him, we're going to crush you like a bug. And the giant lied because what he said was, you know, you get your man, I'll be the man for our army. and for the Philistines, and he said, whoever wins this, that'll be the end of the war. Now, if you read the Bible, that didn't happen. It should have happened. That should have been the end of it, but it wasn't. But David stands there, and when you read that scripture, it would seem as if David could just stand back and let God strike that giant down. But how many of you know that is never the way of God? Jesus died so that you could be a laborer together with him. He died to bring you into a relationship with God where you can make a choice whether to serve God or not. How many of you know that God could step out of eternity today and fix every problem on this planet? He could fix every problem in your life. He could fix every problem in mine. But the problem is, the problem isn't the problem. It's our hearts and it's our lives. He's always wanting us to walk with him, to work with him, to relate to him, to know him, to understand him, to become like him. God could have sent a lightning bolt out of heaven and struck that giant down. But he didn't. He said, David, you got to bring something to the party. But I want to tell you something this morning. This is a simple lesson that can change the outcome of every battle that we ever face in life. 1 Samuel 17 verse 45 said this, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. You know what's wrong with our world today? They defy God. They're trying to defy God on every level. They blaspheme his name. They cast it out as evil. They try to turn things upside down. They sin like they're spinning a cartwheel. But they're going to be in trouble because they are trying to defy a God that you cannot defeat. But David understood. You need to understand today that David had a part to play. And that God also had a part to play. God would make David victorious in every battle that he would fight, that he trusted in God. He lost one to a woman for a while because he didn't trust in God. He didn't obey God. David's part in this battle would be very small, but very necessary. Kind of like my job as a pastor. I heard someone say one time, they said, a flea was on the back of an elephant crossing a bridge. When they got halfway across the bridge, the flea leaned down in the elephant's ear and he said, man, ain't we shaking this bridge. We're shaking this world for God, but I kind of feel like that flea on the back of the elephant because we have a church family that is just moving together to accomplish God's will in the earth. And often we're just a flea in an elephant's ear, but God expects us to do our part. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you cannot do God's part. But he won't do your part either. And if you haven't done your part, you can't expect God to do his. I don't have a lot of time this morning. You people just worshiping right out of your socks. Many times we don't understand what it means to walk with God. We don't understand because we don't understand what it means to walk in covenant with God. Covenant's a contract. Covenant is, there's always two sides to a covenant. And God starts all the way back with Abraham, and he, what the Jews called, he cut covenant with Abraham. He told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to promise you that you're going to have children that are going to be more numerous than the stars in the heavens and the grains of sand on the seashore. And Abraham asked him a question because he was 90 years old. He said, God, how am I going to know that you're going to do that? Sarah laughed. God didn't smite her for laughing. He said, Abraham, I want you to take a heifer. I want you to slay it. I want you to cut it in two. Lay one half over here. Lay the other half over there. He said, I want you to walk between these pieces. And what normally they did in that day and time is they would make a figure eight. They would walk between those pieces. And as they went, they would call out the blessings of the covenant. God's going to make my seed as numerous as the stars of heaven. He's going to make them like the sands on the seashore. Abraham understood that this was an unbreakable covenant, because with covenant, there's always blessing, there's always cursing. And what Abraham understood was, is that if he broke the covenant and he broke his part of the covenant, God was going to do to him what he had just done to that heifer. He was going to tear him in two. If you read your Bible, there's a lot of times in the Old Testament the prophets say, you better turn and get right with God, lest he come and rend you or tear you in pieces. How many of you read that in your Bible? Did you see that? That's what he was talking about. He's talking about this covenant. Now, how many of you would like to enter into a covenant like that with God, that you walk between the pieces, and if you fail and you make a mistake, guess what God gets to do to you? How many of you want to enter that kind of covenant with God? I want you to see something beautiful. Abraham never walked between the pieces. Thank God. Bible said before he could walk on it, he fell into a deep sleep. And he woke up, and when he woke up, he saw a flaming torch moving in and out of those pieces. He said it was a torch. It looked like it burned in an oven. If you turn to the book of Revelation, the first chapter, it talks about somebody whose hair is white like wool, whose eyes flame like fire. His feet are like burnished brass, like they had burned in an oven. Hallelujah. Guess who walked through those pieces for Abraham? The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. It's the Lord. Jesus Christ walked through those pieces. If you think Jesus was just a baby born in Bethlehem 5,000 years later, you're wrong. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He who was and is, who died and who is alive forevermore. And he does want to make a covenant with you. He did make a covenant with you. Now, he's not going to destroy you when you fail, because he is a merciful God. Not unless you keep doing it deliberately. How many of you know you can't keep breaking covenant with God deliberately and expect one day you're going to wake up in glory? You can't do that. But yes, there are times we fail. There's times we make mistakes. There's times we fall short. There's times we're ignorant. There's times we break that covenant. We don't know we are, but the Holy Spirit convicts our heart. And thank God, Jesus Christ has walked. He has walked through and made that covenant. He said at the Last Supper, this is the new covenant in my blood. He made covenant with you. And he said, it's best that I do this, because I have to go away. If I don't go away, the power, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit that's going to enable you to keep covenant with me, he will not be able to come unless I am first sacrificed. But he was sacrificed, because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He that's born again shall never die. He that believes in God, he that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, can now walk in union and be one with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd make them one, even as we're one, so that where I am, they may be also. Yes. He's a covenant-keeping God. And you know what? What he asked us to do compared to what he always does is just about like that flea in the elephant's ear. But we have to do our part. That's what so many Christians don't understand. We keep living for ourselves. We keep doing what the flesh dictates to us. We wonder why our lives are a mess. We wonder why everything is backwards and upside down, and it looks like God isn't there, and it looks like it doesn't work. It's because we don't do our little bitty part. God never asks anything of you that you can't do. And he will empower you to do anything that he asks. The battle belongs to the Lord, but we must always do our part to win the victory. In salvation, you cannot do God's part. God's part was, as he was a holy God that could not wink at sin and wickedness, and he couldn't just let you slide on the curve. It would make him crooked and wicked. So he said, I will send my son who will live a life that is not worthy of death, but I will let him suffer all the pangs of death except corruption, and I will let him pay the price for every person that will believe on me and enter into covenant with me. And that's the only way you'll ever get to heaven. You won't get there by being good. You won't get there by going to church. You won't get there by being a better person. The only way you'll get there is by believing that Jesus Christ died for you. All of our righteousness is filthy rags as compared to that. When we stand before God one day, if he says, why should I let you into my heaven? You better give him the right answer. And it isn't because you did a few good things and you taught Sunday school and played guitar on the worship team. You are there because the Son of God went up the hill of Calvary, paid the price that you could not pay for a debt he did not owe. Glory to God. Glory to God, Jesus. It will be Jesus from beginning to end. God's part was to save you and cleanse you from your sins. Brian quoted it this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You are going to perish physically in this life one day, nothing short of the rapture. But he who believes in him will never truly die. And see, that was God's part, that you can never do what Jesus did on the cross. Your part is simply to believe it for you personally. But it's not just a mental belief. It's a belief that is so deep that it causes you to love Jesus so deeply for dying for you that you are motivated to live for him. People often ask me, they say, Kenny, how did you get changed? I found out a Savior loved me so much, died in my place so much, that when I realized it and I saw it with the eyes of my heart, I said, I owe him nothing less than total obedience, total heart, total life, total energy, total resources. Everything I am, I lay at his feet. That's how the change came. In John 14, 21, it says, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show and reveal and manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. I'm a preacher, and there are foolish people in this world that try to convince me that God isn't real, that Jesus didn't really happen, that eternity isn't real, that life isn't real. My answer is always, you got to me too late. I've seen him with the eyes of my heart. I've seen what he can do in my life. I've felt him. I've touched him. He's touched me. He's changed me. You're talking to the wrong person. Try to tell me, well, I don't know the Bible. I was just written by men. I don't care who it was written by. It talks about the Savior that is real, that is God, that can touch your heart, that can touch your life. He's just waiting for you to get in covenant with him. Oh, so how can I win my battles in life and have God help me defeat every enemy? I started serving him on May 22nd, 1978 at 7:35 in the morning. I know because I was standing beside a spot welder in a factory and I was on the work clock and I looked up. I have that clock. My boss gave me that clock when it shut down. I still drive by the building every once in a while and I'm like, there's where it happened. There's where I met Jesus Christ in that grungy, old, dirty, rundown factory. He came to me, and I got to tell you, he's helped me win every single battle since. Whether it's been mine, whether I've been involved personally, whether it's been ministry, whether it's been mission, it doesn't matter what it is, whether sickness, death, it doesn't matter. He is a winner. So how does that happen? In Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, and in conclusion, Paul was a preacher. He was lying. He went on for a whole chapter after that. We all do that. And now in closing, but I love what he said. Sometimes you got to wait till the end, right? Wait for it. There's a scripture that says, wait for it. The messenger of the covenant will come suddenly to his temple. Amen. He said in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. How many of you know, church, the time has passed, the day too is too late, it's too dark. You can't fool around with Christianity. You're not going to make it. This thing is getting to the end. It was at the end on the day of Pentecost, so we are somewhere way down the line near the end. It's winding down. The Bible said wicked men would grow more and more wicked. Jesus said, when I return, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, it will be today. Our nation is almost there. It's almost there. He prophesied 2,000 years ago what's going on now, here. And the reality is, there's no time left to play. You may be one of the most hated people on the face of the earth, and it's coming soon, because wickedness and evilness is accepted as what's right and what's good, and anything that is pure and anything that is God and anything that's right, they're casting it all out as evil. There is a mark on you if you're a child of God. And it's coming. And you ain't going to be able to play church, and you're not going to be able to fool around one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. You can't do it anyway. Jesus said if you're that lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. Why? Because the devil's going to chew you up anyhow. And it's your choice. It's time to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, be empowered. This is amplified. Be empowered through your union with him. How many of you know it's going to take more than a Sunday morning service once or twice a month to stay in union with him? Or when it's convenient for you, or when you feel like it, you better draw nigh to God. The Bible said when you see the day of the Lord approaching, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, but even more so. I'd get in every Bible study. I'd get in every prayer meeting. I'd get in every church service. I would get as much of God as you can possibly stuff into your little life, because you're going to need it. It said, draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Now, I got some really good news for you. Paul said, I prayed for him to fix something in me. He had some kind of sickness, some kind of disease, and everybody surmises what it is. We don't know. So quit guessing, because you're wrong. He said, I prayed 3 times that this thing would depart, and God said, nope, it's not going to depart. Paul, I got a purpose in it. I got a plan in it. He's saying that about a lot of things that are going on in your life. You're saying, God, I don't want this. I want to go around it. I want to get over it. I want to get past it. He's saying, it's necessary. But Paul also said this. He said, God said to him, Paul, I'm not going to fix everything, buddy, but my grace will be sufficient to get you through no matter what it is. And Paul said, man, I learned something here. He learned that in his weakness, God could be strong as long as he kept his eyes on God. He said, so now I will glory in my infirmities. I will glory in my weakness because I've learned to trust God through them. Y'all been watching Disney Channel too much. You think everything's got a happy ending in life. It doesn't. I'm telling you. This world is a mess. It doesn't all work out. It doesn't all go your way. It's never going to. God never promised that. In fact, the opposite. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You might as well face it. In this world, you're going to need some patience. I don't want patience. You need patience. Jesus said, in your patience possess ye your souls. Why? Because he's not going to fix everything. He's not going to fix every problem. That's not what he's out to do. If that's all you're out for, you know, go join some cult. They'll lie to you and make you happy till you die and go to hell. But I'm not going to lie to you. Hello. Said, put on God's whole armor. Oh, I got to do that? Yeah. Well, I don't even know what that armor is. I know. That's why I'm preaching to you. You need to find out. Some of you don't have a clue. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy arm soldier which God supplies. Now, most of us want to crawl through life. We think we're going to get into heaven by the skin of our teeth. Whine about everything. You know how God wants you to live? He wants you to live like David. He wants you to look every giant in the eyeball and say, you know what, giant? You come to me with a sword and a shield and a spear, but I come to you in the name of my God. He's going to take you down. Put on the whole armor of God that He supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. I hate to give him credit for anything, but he's good at what he does. He doesn't care how little it is, how small it is, how meaningless it is to you. Anything he can use to bide your time, to keep you from serving God, to keep you from getting right and selling out completely, he will deliver it to you. People come into church, I want to serve God, I want to serve God, but I really want a boyfriend. See, I know that because I watch them come and go. I've even said to God a couple times, I said, God, don't give them that man or that woman they're praying for, because that's all they're out after. And you know when they get it, they're going to go. And they do. And then they pray, God, get me out of this. People come to me and say, Pastor Ken, pray for me that I get this new job. I want this job so bad, I believe it's God. Agree with me in prayer. And I do. And they get the job. And they come back, you know, 6 months later. Can you pray me out of this job? This job is just terrible. See, you thought all those things were going to fix things. Nothing will fix anything in your life except a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else satisfies. Nothing else will complete you. Nothing else will truly make you happy. Oh, you can get happy and silly and drunk and everything else for a few minutes here and there. But I'm talking about having life. I'm talking about having peace. I'm talking about having the strength in God to handle any giant that comes your way. See, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, Paul said, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. I know a lot of Christians that profess to believe in God, but they don't believe in the devil at all. When it comes to the devil, they're atheists. Or you think it's a joke. It's not a joke. He's real. He's real. All you got to do is look around at life a little bit and you'll see how real he is. And he's committed to his ministry. Dragging you to hell. Keeping you diverted. Keeping your attention off of anything that really matters in life. Like God, loving and serving him. Paul said, because he is such an enemy, he said, therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. David wasn't very big, wasn't very strong. He had an enemy that was almost 10 foot tall and carrying heavier armor than David could lift. And there he stood, a little boy, with a bag of rocks. And he didn't have a lot of rocks. He only had 5 stones. But he had God. But God. He knew God was on his side. I don't know how I'm going to get through this thing. I don't know where I'm going to get the money. I don't know where the resources are going to come. I don't know how we're going to fix this. God. God. You keep trusting in God. Oh, I am in terrible financial straits. God has a plan to fix that. He does. He does. People hate me and I don't know what to do with them. God has a plan to fix that. He has a way around and through it all. Put on the complete armor so that you can stand. And it says, and having done all, to stand. See, one of the things I love about serving God is even when I have got to the end of what I think I can do, when I've got to the end of my resources, when I've got to the end of everything, I can just stand. I say, devil, I see you on the other side of the river. You want me to flinch. You want me to turn tail and run. By the way, if you get down this armor that's in there, the only part that isn't covered is your back. You turn, run, you dead meat. Because you don't have to run. You don't have to run. Church, I've had the devil bring me to the edge of every broken thing inside of me. I've had my heart broke. I've had my body broke. I've had my money broke. I've had it all broke. And I've still just stood there and said, now what, devil? I was 27 years old, laying in a bed. I could not even turn to the right side or the left. And the doctor's saying, well, I don't know if you're going to be able to walk again. I said, devil, I don't know if I can walk again. Cried to my wife. I said, I'm hurting so bad, I can't even hardly breathe. I said, the devil, you've done all you can. There's nothing else you can do to me. You can kill me, but just send me home. And I'm still not quitting. Though he slay me, I will serve him in the land of the living. And God raised me up off of that bed. I played tennis. Yeah. I smoked so many cigarettes when I was a teenager, I couldn't run from here to that light pole. And I play tennis now. I'm 66 years old. God is good all the time. The devil lied to me. He said, see where serving God got you. See what's going on in your life. You're down and I'm coming after you and I'm going to get you. I said, you did all you could do. I'm standing there for. And God didn't have to raise me up out of there. You know, Johnny Erickson Tata didn't get raised up out of there. And I might not have got raised up either. And I'm grateful to God that he is. But I'm telling you, I wasn't going to quit. I wasn't going to quit. I said, devil, you've done all you can do. And that's what you got to learn to do. You got to learn to do your part. You got to figure out what your part is. And once you've done it, then you've got to trust and realize the battle always belongs to the Lord. His son died for you. He set his love on you. He is not going to let the enemy overtake you if you put your trust in him. It says, stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and the moral rectitude and right standing with God. See, here's the thing. If you play, the devil knows you play it. If you're not for real, he's going to take you out and he's going to eat you lunch. And he's going to do it every time. But if you're for real, and you know you're real when you tighten that belt of truth around your waist, how do you do that? Here is the truth. Your belt is not only what holds up your pants, but it's what holds up your strength. It's saying, get this thing so wrapped around you and so tight around you and so in you. In the New Testament, it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Well, I don't like to read. Well, that's good. You need to be in every Bible study then. You need to be in every prayer group. You need to get a hold of tapes. You need to do something. You're not going to be able to use an excuse, I don't read, to not know what's in the Bible. But you got to find out what's in the book. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. A knowledge of what's in here. This word is health and life and strength and wholeness to every part of your being in every area of your life, and half of you don't even know what's in here. There are over 3,300 promises of God in here for you as a Christian, and half of you don't know a tenth of them. You can quote every player on your NFL team. You know the stats of every Major League Baseball team. Some of you could probably quote Chilton's Auto Manual twice as thick and don't know the Ten Commandments. Hello! Get this belt of truth around you. Every time the devil came to Christ, and here's why you got to know it, you know what he did? He quoted Scripture. He said, well, but the Bible says this. Jesus said, yeah, but it also says this. And if the devil will come to the Son of God and misquote Scripture to him, do you think he won't come to you and try it? And the only way you're going to know he's misquoting it is the way Jesus knew it. You know it inside out, upside down, and backwards. If you just read that thing a few times, nobody will be able to lie to you ever again. Ever again. And they do it. They do it on national television. Preachers do it on national pulpits. People say all kinds of things. The Bible says, and I look and I go, no, it don't. No, it don't. Well, it says, no, you just quote part of it. You just making it fit what you want to do. This thing is supposed to change you till you fit it. Yeah, you can make it say anything you want to. You can make a fortune cookie out of it. You can. You say, what's that mean? You read a fortune cookie, it tells you something, and you make it happen. You can read this, it'll say something. You can twist it around to your own destruction. You know what the devil gave me to keep me from getting saved right down the last year or two? I give you all herbs bearing seed. It shall be to you as me. Used to have a big black light poster, had a big marijuana leaf on it. God planted here. I was Mr. Natural. We're all going to get stoned to the bone because Jesus loves marijuana. Yeah, I preached that gospel for a year or two. Look what I found in the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. I really didn't find it. Somebody put it on the bottom of that poster. Genesis 1:29. That was my motto, my creed. Liar, liar, liar. See, the devil's smarter than us. He'll lie to you even using that if you let him. You got to know the book. Get that truth around your loins. Put on the breastplate of righteousness and integrity. You know what integrity is? It means you do the right thing, the God thing, all the time, whether the preacher, God, or anybody else is watching. It means you walk right, you talk right, you live right, you do right. That's what integrity is. You say, well, my life's really messed up. The devil just does all kind of crooked things to me. Well, what kind of crooked things are you doing to God? How are you living? Are you living like the devil and expecting God to be your father? I got to get done here. I never get done. Put on a breastplate of integrity. See, that's what covers your heart. It's moral rectitude and right standing with God. Right standing with God. I've heard of national preachers getting in homosexual affairs and having for years and leading churches of thousands of people. And I'm thinking, man, I can't even leave a piece of trash on the ground. The Holy Spirit won't let me just let it lay there. And you get to do that? And you try to tell me you're born again and you know God and the Holy Spirit's inside of you? You're lying. You're lying. If you get born again, the Holy Spirit won't let you do a lot of wrong things, and He'll fill you up with the power to do all the right things. You smoke a lot of cigarettes. I didn't have a problem because I could quit any time. I quit a bunch of times. And I always went back to it. Used to hang my head in the commode and almost drown from the vomit I was throwing up, and I said, God, if you let me live this time, I promise I'll never do it again. Till next week, end. And I meant it in my heart. When I told him, you know, when I was almost drowned in it, I said, I meant it. But I didn't have the power to do anything about it. He said, I got to do more than just fix your cigarette habit and your drinking habit. I got to fix it all. It's an all or nothing kind of thing. I said, oh, God, I'm not sure I want all. He said, no, it's all or nothing. He said, you know that poster you got on your wall? That's the biggest one. It's got to go now. And you want to legalize marijuana. Crazy. The world is crazy. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, that is to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news, the gospel of peace. I was glad when I was laying and couldn't move, I was almost paralyzed from the neck down, that I knew my salvation wasn't based on what I could do, because at that moment I could barely breathe. I said, devil, you can't take it away. I got it. You can't get to it. He said, but you ain't doing all. I said, I can't do nothing. He's done it all. And he's a covenant-keeping God. He walked through the pieces for me. Glory to God. I did. I hurt bad. You ever been so sick and hurt you just wanted to die? I have a couple times already. I was like, Lord, if you don't heal me, could you just go ahead and finish this off now? I hope you never have to be that sick, but it may happen. And then it says, finally, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith. And again, it's not intellectual assent. It's not a mind faith. It's a heart faith that changes your life. Jesus said, if you really love me, you'll do what I say. He said, if you really believe, you'll do what I say. He said, and if you don't do either of those, you're a liar, and the truth's not in you. Don't matter how many hymns you sing and how many Sundays you go to church and how many missions trips you take. It don't matter. None of that matters. You got to have saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. See, when I was laying there and couldn't move, I still had my shield on. He said, I got a couple more darts. I said, hit me with your best shot. I did. You asked my wife. She was there. God bless her little soul. Feeding and watering, and I was almost like a plant. It works. See, it's that faith in God. God, I don't always see your hand. I don't always understand what you're doing, but I trust you in all of it. You said that all things work together for good to those that know and love God and the called according to his purpose. And God, I believe it from the bottom of my heart to the marrow of my bone. Get filled up with him. And he said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. See, when you get in trouble as a Christian, you don't know the word, you're in trouble. You don't know where to turn to, and you don't know what to do. But if you know the word is there. It's there. It's always there. And then last but not least, he said, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints. I like that. If I hear you pray and all you ever pray about you, or you and your four and no more, you aren't very far down the road of understanding who God is and what Christianity is about. You say, I got lost loved ones. Do you pray for them? Are you asking God to intervene in their lives, move in their hearts, change everything they are? You got Christian friends and you see them and they ain't doing things that you think Christians ought to do. Let me ask you, is the first thing you do pray for them, or do you call, you know, just between us girls, let me tell you what old sister Jones said. So we can pray. We're not going to pray, but I want to tell you about it. See, that's not what it says. It says pray for all saints, on behalf of all saints. You and I ought to pray for each other constantly. Constantly. We'd all be better people if we all pray. Now, I'm the pastor, and a lot of you pray for me. I know, but just think if you didn't, it'd be worse. Pray at all times for all saints. Be praying. Jesus said you ought always to pray and not to faint. You can reverse that and say, if I don't pray, what? I'm going to faint. Jesus is not the fire alarm buzzer to run to when it all goes kaput. He is the Savior to talk to every moment, every day, every hour of your life, everywhere that you are. And you don't have to be fancy about it. You don't have to have some big words. You don't have to be religious about it. You need to talk to him like you're talking to the closest person in your life. And you don't have to just tell him the good things. You can tell him the bad things. You don't have to tell him the good things you feel. You can tell him bad things you feel too. When I read the Psalms, man, them guys were honest with God. Scott, where are you? Them sinners are getting all blessed and I ain't getting nothing. Never had that prayer, did you? Had that thought. Talk to him about it. Talk to him about everything. That's how you get to know him. Some of you don't go to prayer meeting because you're scared to death somebody's going to ask you to pray out loud. I got some homework for you. Go home, get in your closet, and do it out loud. Practice. Then it won't be so scary when you get there. My first pastor, I've often thought of doing this, but I'm not going to because I don't want to scare you to death. He had a habit of just, we'd start a church service, he'd look out and he'd say, Sister Carla, stand up and pray over the church service. And it would be somebody different every week. I was there about 6 months, just shivering in my boots. I thought, man, sooner or later, he's going to hit me. Sure enough, Brother Kenny. Some of you need to break the sound barrier. You need to get past them mumbling prayers and, you know, and actually start talking to God like you believe he really is there. I got to quit. Praise team, come on up to the platform. Get in the Word, find out what your part is, and trust God to win every battle for you, because he will. He does not lose. He does not lose, ever. And you won't lose either if you'll trust in him. Yes. Don't sit around and wait for him to do it all, because he's not. He's waiting for you to do your part. You know, when it comes to giving, you know what he says? Give, and it'll be given unto you. He didn't say, wait till they give to you and then give. He said, give. With forgiveness. He said, somebody trespasses against you, forgive. You said, well, they ain't sorry. It don't matter. They may never be sorry, but you still got to forgive. That's just a couple little things. There's like 3,300 of them in there. Go check it out. Stand your feet. We're going to worship. Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Have you asked him to come into your heart, come into your life? I saw something this week. I think we'll put up on the projector. And said, I didn't ask Jesus to come into my heart. He gave me a new heart. I said, man, I like that. I like that. Do you have a new heart? Do you have a new heart? Do you have a heart that wants to please God more than anything else in life? Because until you get that, you don't have it. And you'll know you have it, because once you get it, it's there, and that want to will be there. See, I tell people all the time, they say, can you still sin? I said, absolutely. I was really good at it. I remember how it goes. They said, can you drink? I said, I can. They said, can you carouse and run women? I said, I can. They said, can you cheat and steal? I said, I can. I said, the difference is I don't want to anymore. I don't want to. I want to please my Heavenly Father. Do always those things that please him. And he will give you the strength to do that and stand against all the wiles of the enemy. I got to quit. I really do. And in conclusion,
let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this chance to come together in your house and worship you. Lift up the message to you today. May we be warriors for you and put on the full armor. May we not lean on our own ability and our own understandings, but put everything to you. Because without you, we can't accomplish everything, but everything is possible with you. I lift up all the people who have come to the altar today, who not just came to an altar made out of wood, but came to your feet and laid down and put their trust in you. We ask that you lift them up. We ask that you put it on our hearts as a congregation to come around them and pray for them. And we thank you for the new members we got today. We ask that you lift them up to you. And we ask that we do the same. We come around them and welcome them into the church and make them feel welcome here and strengthen our bodies. We ask you to keep us safe as we travel today, as we go out to eat, as we go home, as we go to visit people, or just anywhere we're going, put a hedge of protection around us and keep us safe till we come together again, if you should tarry. And we ask for all these things in the name of your Son, and may you receive all the glory and honor. Amen. Amen.